Sports Radio 1290, CFRW, Winnipeg.
I'm still shaking right now. I'm just so honored to be included in this draft class.
A division of Bell Media. Sports Radio 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. And for all those joining us this morning at www.sportsradio1290.com, good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's 9 a.m., and news is actually flying fast and furious so far. So we're going to try and stay on top of everything. Gary Lawless of the Winnipeg Free Press, can you give us a call back? You just called in. If you can call back into the studio, Gary, that would be great. We'll get you on to talk about what you just called in about. We have a report coming out of St. John's, Newfoundland, that the Manitoba Moose are heading to St. John's to become the NHL affiliate of the whatever the new NHL franchise in Winnipeg is going to be. That report came out just early this morning from Robin Short. He's the sports editor at the St. John's Telegram. We're going to be joined by Robin Short coming up in about 15 minutes time. Bill Daly is speaking at some sort of a sports conference somewhere in the United States today, and he's denying that the Atlanta Thrashers are moving to Winnipeg. Now, at this point in time, he could be posturing for the sake of posturing, but we're going to see if we get Gary online. Maybe Gary knows something about that right now.
Drew, I know you want to go over our other guests today, but I just want to quickly say, Remus confirmed that what CBC's Jeff Merrick said last night after the Sharks-Canucks game on the iDesk was that the Manitoba Moose whatever AHL team is the Manitoba Moose will still be the NHL team in Winnipeg's farm team. Yeah,
that's right, and that's what's been being reported in the St. John's Newfoundland Telegram as well this morning, is that the Moose, the affiliate team for the NHL in Winnipeg, is going to play in St. John's. I'm not sure if they're going to be called the Moose or not, but the Manitoba Moose are moving to St. John's, Newfoundland, allegedly.
Is that where they were?
Moncton.
That was Moncton.
Moncton. Yeah. So the Manitoba Moose are going to be moving, or allegedly moving to St. John's, Newfoundland, and they're going to be the farm team for the Winnipeg NHL franchise if that goes through as we expect. The Vancouver Canucks farm team is going to be the Chicago Wolves, which was the Atlanta Thrashers farm team in Chicago. That's so there's just a lot of moving pieces and a lot of moving parts here this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're going to stay on top of everything over the next few hours, of course, until 12 noon this afternoon. We'll be here longer if we need to be. Yep. Our guest rundown, just so that everybody's on the same page, 9:15 this morning, Robin Short of the St. John's Telegram is going to be joining us to talk about his story that he just broke earlier this morning that we saw. 9:30 this morning, Corey Pronman is a writer for Hockey Prospectus, a contributor to ESPN Insider. Richard, you're a writer for Hockey Prospectus and a contributor there. He's going to join us to talk about some of the Atlanta Thrashers prospects that we're expecting are going to be moving to Winnipeg with this team. Moving parts, like I said, nothing is 100% confirmed, but that is what we're expecting. 10 o'clock this morning from the Winnipeg Free Press, Tim Campbell is going to join us. I suspect at some point during the next 3 hours, we're going to hear from Gary Lawless again of the Winnipeg Free Press. 10:30 this morning, Chris Mason, goaltender for the Atlanta Thrashers. You heard him last week on this program. You're going to hear him again this week on this program. See what the scuttlebutt is amongst the Thrashers players themselves. And then for the final hour of the show, joining us live in studio, the voice, who we equate to be the voice of NHL hockey in Winnipeg, Kurt Kielbach is going to be joining us for the final hour this morning. Talk about really this whole everything that's going on right now. We're going to be taking your calls throughout the course of the morning, 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. If you're calling in from out of town, like many of our callers have been for the last, really, 36 hours, the whirlwind that this has been. So, call in. We're going to read your tweets on the air. You can find us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Send us your comments. You're the best comments. We'll read them on the air. Best questions, everything else. Michael Remus is live chatting over at www.illegalcurve.com. go there, join Michael Remus, talk about hockey if you want to. There's a live chat, a lot of people going on there. It's going to be a hectic 3 hours, and I haven't even mentioned the Western Conference Finals from last night.
Playoffs are going on?
The playoffs are going on, believe it or not, about everything, you know, with everything that's going on.
You're starting to see a slow turn in Winnipeg from supporting the Vancouver Canucks to realizing that we actually have a team coming back here, and now that they don't need to support that team anymore.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's really in the last 48 hours, 36, 48 hours,
yeah.
There's been two playoff games. I frankly haven't seen 1 second of them. I don't know about you guys.
I watched a bit of the third period last night of that game, but yeah, I haven't seen a ton of the playoffs. So
it looks like we have our first caller of the morning calling on line one, Sheldon. Sheldon, turn down your radio first and foremost.
Okay.
You would think that after you've been on the show a couple times, you're better known to some of the people in this studio as my father, Sheldon. But turn down your radio and so we can hear your question.
Okay. I'm turning it down.
There you go. Sheldon, welcome.
What's up, Sheldon?
Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Hi, Mr. Mindell.
Thank you for having me on. It's raining, so I can't golf. Otherwise, I'd be listening all the time.
We appreciate that sentiment. You can always download the show on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes. And I know that you have no idea how to do that, so I'll help you with that later on
Drew,
tonight.
I added Sheldon on LinkedIn. He's my newest LinkedIn friend.
Dad, can I suggest you get off LinkedIn any minute now?
I don't mind having him as a friend on my LinkedIn.
Okay. How can we help you this morning, Dad? How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm sitting here having coffee with our house guests, and I want to give you my suggestion for a name.
Oh, please do.
Okay. Manitoba Polar Bears.
Manitoba Polar Bears.
I like that.
Okay, we like that. We appreciate that. It's got a nice ring. It ties in with everything else that we know about the...
Gordon Sinclair says, Polar Bears? No way. We are the Jets.
Well, there you go. So if
Gordon Sinclair says no, it must be the right answer.
Oh, it's already getting feisty. Sheldon / Dad, we're going to have to let you go. We have Gary Lawless on the line.
Sheldon / Dad.
Goodbye.
Bye, Dad. We'll talk to you later. Let's go to Gary Lawless. He's calling in, I believe. Gary, are you there?
Hey, guys, how are you?
I'm well, Gary. How are you doing this morning?
I'm excellent.
What has happened early this morning? What can you tell us? We saw the comments from Bill Daly, wherever he's speaking, somewhere in the United States, denying that the sale's done. What can you update us on?
Well, I can tell you this. The Winnipeg Free Press has been steadfast in its assertion that the deal is not done. The New Albany Mail has backed off its position, saying that the deal is done. They have a story printed in today's paper saying that the deal is not done. Journal of Sports and Entertainment continues to assert the deal is not done. Hockey Night in Canada, Pierre LeBrun, last night, deal is not done. There is a financing issue that needs to be cleared up, according to Pierre LeBrun, and TSN has continued to say that a deal is not done. All that is fine and well. A deal is very close. A deal is expected to be closed. But reports that say a deal is done have never been accurate and are not accurate at this moment.
Like, Gary, is there any chance the deal is not going to get done? Like, I see it as a 0% chance.
No, I do not believe that. Well, I would not say 0%.
Think it's zero.
Well, how can you say that?
Just because there's just so many moving parts already in place, Gary, that for this for somebody to renege on this
Money hasn't changed hands. The Board of Governors haven't approved it. No one has signed papers. Is Richard there? Who am I talking
to? Yeah, that was Richard.
Yeah, me.
Richard, you're a lawyer. Like, you know better than anyone else. When deals can be very close and can still go sideways. For you definitively to say 0%, do you really believe that?
I absolutely believe that. I think there's too many moving parts here, Gary, and too much money and power that these people would have agreed to. If you're putting in place, if there's a report that the Moose are moving, there's a report that all these things are in place, that means that everything else has already been dealt with.
What's in place? What reports of what is in place?
Well, there's a report in today's St. John's Telegram. We're going to be joined in 5 minutes by Robin Short. He's the editor of the St. John's Telegram.
Hey, Robin, yep.
Who reports that the Moose are moving to St. John's, Newfoundland. There's an announcement scheduled for next Friday afternoon. The Moose are going to move to St. John's and become the AHL team for the new Winnipeg NHL team.
I am sure that Robin is a very good journalist. I am sure that there is a conditional agreement. I don't know this. I don't know that story, so I can't interrupt. But if there is an agreement, it is conditional upon Winnipeg getting an NHL franchise. Look, guys, I know you think I'm the wet blanket.
No, we don't think you're the wet blanket, Gary.
I'm dealing in reality, and I'm dealing with sources that I've trusted along this entire story. When I wrote my ticket drive story, everyone said, oh, there's not going to be a ticket drive. That's hogwash. There's going to be a ticket drive. Everyone has accepted that fact, and I'm just telling you right now, as of this moment, there's no deal.
Gary, in terms of the ticket driver, I'm not exactly set. Are you basically, I just want to make sure I understand you, are you saying that the ASG group will sell a team to Chipman on a condition that a ticket drive be successful?
I don't know the mechanics of that. I know that Winnipeg's NHL franchise will be granted in conditionally upon the success of a ticket drive. I don't know about the mechanics of an ASG drive. There are lots of things that I'm not privy to.
Because those two things, I mean, just in terms of thinking logically, those aren't mutually exclusive.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. And I'm sure, and Richard, again, would understand this far better than me. I'm sure there are mechanisms that can be put in place that allow this to work. Gary, I haven't figured that out. I'm not that smart.
Gary, on Thursday night, you said that you would basically be shocked if that Tuesday announcement actually happens. Are you still sticking by that there is no announcement coming Tuesday by True North?
No conference on Tuesday.
Right.
That's my belief. Could things change between now and then? I guess so. It's Saturday morning of a long weekend, and while I know a lot of True North people will be working on this, there are certain elements, banks being open, for instance, financial institutions being open, that are imperative to making this deal move along. And at this point, some of those things remain to be done. So I don't see how.
Gary, what we were hearing yesterday morning when we were on the air is that the hiccups that needed to be worked out largely were between the NHL and Atlanta Spirit in terms of the dollars for the relocation fee. Are you saying that the hiccups that might be in place right now are more so between True North and Atlanta Spirit?
No, I'm saying that there are, my understanding are there are some financial aspects that need to be finalized. Which way they go, like, money's changing hands in a number of ways here, guys. So which way they go and who they're connected to, I don't know that answer.
Gary Lawless of the Winnipeg Free Press. Gary, as events warrant this morning, if they do so, you know, feel free to get back in touch with us. We're going to be, obviously, we're going to be busy for the next 3 hours at least.
I have to tell you, you guys are my favorite show to come on other than my own, because the exchange is always great. I hope that there's mutual respect.
Absolutely.
Of course.
But it's a lot of fun because you guys have diverse backgrounds, different ones than me, that give you different skill sets and different knowledge bases. So it's you guys are a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
And we appreciate our interactions, Gary, and always respectful. We may not agree 100% of the time, but as long as we're always respectful, we'll have a good time together.
Yeah, we don't have to agree, just as long as you guys always know that I'm the one that's right.
Okay. Okay, we'll see about that. We'll see how this plays out in the next couple of weeks. We might use that as one of our famous clips, Gary.
Sure, that's no problem.
Gary, have a good morning. If events warrant, we'll be back in touch.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks, take care. Gary.
Let's go to break. When we come back from the St. John's Telegram, Robin Short, he's reporting that the Moose are moving to St. John's, Newfoundland. Stay with us. It's going to be an exciting morning. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live on Sports Radio 1290. In the morning, we're already off to a whirlwind. Good, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm not sure I actually introduced you guys. Ezra Ginsberg, Richard Pollock are joining me. Michael Remus is in the other room operating the R desk and taking all of your calls. We're working on getting Robin Short of the St. John's Telegram on the line. Robin Short reported earlier this morning that the Manitoba Moose are expected to move to St. John's, Newfoundland to become the farm team of whatever NHL team ends up in Winnipeg, whatever they're called. We have, looks like, let's go to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Robin Short, sports editor from the Telegram out of St. John's, Newfoundland. Thanks for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on fairly short notice.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Robin, we're reading your article here. I'm reading it online right now. Can you recap for our listeners what you reported earlier this morning?
Well, basically, I guess in a nutshell is that the American Hockey League is returning to St. John's after a 6-year absence. For 14 years, the St. John's Maple Leafs were part of the American Hockey League, Toronto Maple Leafs Farm Club, of course. And since then, there was a 3-year run of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. It certainly wasn't as well received as the AHL was. And for the past 3 years, the city has been looking for some kind of tenant for Mile One Center, a hockey tenant. And there had been some discussions or some talks of perhaps the American Hockey League again. It didn't look very good. But of late, certainly the past couple of weeks, momentum was building. There was a fair amount of speculation. And yesterday, we could finally confirm that the Manitoba Moose will be moving to St. John's for the 2011-2012 AHL season. And actually, we had heard this about a week ago, but it was pretty much contingent upon the Atlanta to Winnipeg thing, and of course, when the Globe and Mail broke that the deal is done, and just about the ink is getting, well, not getting dry, but the ink is being applied to the paper, then we decided that that now is the time to that we gotta run with this.
Robin Short, sports editor from the St. John's Telegram. Robin, can you sort of, you know, for our fans who may not be that familiar with the old baby Leafs as they were that played in St. John's, you know, what was their attendance like on a regular basis? How well received was AHL hockey in St. John's?
Well, certainly for the first number of years, it was very well received. But you got to remember that for the first number of years, I guess from '91 right up until 2001. The Maple Leafs played in Old Memorial Stadium, which was, an old senior hockey barn in the middle of, not so much in the middle of downtown, but downtown St. John's. It's seated about 1,800, 2,000. And that's probably being liberal. I can't exactly remember the seating capacity, but it was an old rink, eh? And it wasn't any problem really selling out the building. In 2001. Mile One Center, which is directly downtown St. John's, that opened. That's a 6,000-seat rink, and certainly for the first year or two, attendance was pretty healthy at Mile One, and that's given the newness of the building. You know, something new, people have a tendency to check it out, and go down and probably you got the novelty of something new. But then after that, the attendance started to wane a little bit. By St. John's standards, I guess you might say, it was pretty much the average in the American League, but attendance started to wane a little bit. And then in 2004-05, I think it was, might have been 05-06, I'm not sure offhand, the Toronto Maple Leafs under John Ferguson Jr. Elected to move the team closer to home, I guess following the model of the Philadelphia Phantoms. The Flyers had moved their farm team literally across the parking lot. Right. Yeah, so the Maple Leafs elected to transfer the team to Toronto, where they currently play at the Ricoh Coliseum. So it really, when the Maple Leafs left after 14 seasons, it wasn't because of poor attendance or anything like that. It was just the Maple Leafs philosophy that the players were better served from a developmental standpoint playing closer to home.
Robin, you know, back to the report for a second, if you don't mind. Did you speak to Stephen prior to coming out with the report?
Stephen
Brunt.
No, I did not. Actually, I talked to Brunt yesterday. We've known each other for some time, and I was actually picking up my little guy at school when I caught him on the radio, and I gave him a phone call. But no, I had not spoken to Brunt prior to.
Robin Short, sports editor of the St. John's Telegram, joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show to discuss the move of the Manitoba Moose to St. John's, Newfoundland. Robin, there's a very interesting name at the front of this deal. That would be the name of former Premier Danny Williams. How will, you know, we know about his reputation as Premier. How do you foresee him as a sports owner?
Well, you know, first of all, I guess it's ironic that the new Winnipeg NHL franchise, the Jets, or whatever they're going to be called, one of their owners is going to be one of the richest men in Canada, if not the richest man in Canada.
Right.
And David Thompson, of course. And the new St. John's AHL team will be at some point, it'll be at least a year, but will eventually be owned by one of the richest men in Newfoundland, if not the richest man in Newfoundland, Danny Williams. To those who just know him as a political figure, long before his foray into politics, Williams was a very, very successful lawyer and businessman, and is certainly quite wealthy in his own right. But you know what? In addition to that, Williams is also very much a hockey fan. He was a member of the St. John's Maple Leafs Board of Directors. He was the very first vice chairman of the board, and I know that he's quite excited over the prospects of owning a professional hockey franchise. But again, that's not something that he's focusing on entirely for this year. I think this year what he and Glenn Stanford, he's a gentleman who was the director of hockey operations for the Maple Leafs during their tenure here, and since then has been filling the same role with the Hamilton Bulldogs. Their aim is to get the franchise up and running and transferred and everything that comes along with that, you know, the tickets and sponsorship and all that kind of thing. Just get the thing running, and then after that, Williams is going to look into purchasing the AHL club. Because I would assume, and I have no basis for saying this, but I would assume that Mark Chipman and his group will be busy enough taking care of things with their NHL club, and certainly don't want to have to worry about what's going on with the American League team. So I guess basically what they're doing, they're putting the AHL team right now into Williams and Stanford's hands for this year, and then after that they'll probably just shake it, sell it to Williams so they can concentrate entirely on the NHL team. But that's just pure speculation on my part, but I would assume that's the case.
Robin, are you able to fill us in on how long this group from Newfoundland was interested in buying the Manitoba Moose? Because we heard a lot of reports that the Moose might be heading to Saskatoon if True North was able to land an NHL team.
Oh, there you go, Saskatoon. See, I was hearing Thunder Bay.
They were both rumored. It was the Thunder Bay rumor was that the Ice Edge guys, who had been involved in the Phoenix Coyotes shenanigans, were going to build a facility in Thunder Bay, and the Fortune Towers were going to say that they were going to be the ones who took over the Moose franchise in Thunder Bay.
Yeah. you know what? I don't know for certain how long these negotiations have been ongoing. I do know that that quietly Stanford has been working behind the scenes for a number of months, actually. Now, whether that's with the Winnipeg people, I'm not certain, but he has been working quietly behind the scenes for a number of months. I do know that Williams has been in contact with Chipman and his group. I think it's specifically Mark Chipman for the past week or two, which tells me that the whole Atlanta and or Phoenix, or I should say or Phoenix to Winnipeg has been pretty well. I guess specifically Atlanta to Winnipeg has been carved in stone or done deal for some time. Because I mean, if you're negotiating to get an NHL team to your city, the last thing on your mind is going to be your farm team. What are we going to do about our farm team?
That's right.
I mean, you're just going to throw that to the wayside and concentrate on getting the NHL deal done. So the fact that Williams has been speaking with Chipman for the past week or two tells me that the NHL deal has been done for at least a week or two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And then, Robin, you have in your article this morning in the Telegram that the announcement is set for 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
That's correct. That's not coming from the Mile One people or others. That's what we've been told, that there is a major announcement coming 1 p.m. Friday, and I don't think it's to announce Mile One's roller skating schedule for summer.
Robin Short, sports editor from the St. John's Telegram, we thank you very much for joining us on short notice this morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
No trouble. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much, Robin.
Bye now.
Let's head to break. When we come back after these commercial messages, we have Corey Pronman. He's a writer for Hockey Prospectus. He's deep into the prospects and the farm system and the young up-and-coming Atlanta Thrashers. We're going to assume they're coming, and we're going to talk to Corey about what we can expect to see in terms of an on-ice performance. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Well, Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 9:30 this morning, a whirlwind first half an hour. We were just joined by Robin Short of the St. John's Telegram. Robin reported that the Manitoba Moose are going to be sold to a group from St. John's, Newfoundland, and become the AHL team of whatever the returning NHL team in Winnipeg is supposedly going to be called.
Specifically, we said they're going to move there next year. Chipman's going to retain ownership, and then they're going to transfer the ownership after the year.
That's right. Right, yeah. So that's what Robin was reporting, that the Chipman would maintain ownership, and then eventually the team would be sold to a group led by former Premier of Newfoundland, Danny Williams.
He's no longer the Premier?
He's no longer the Premier. He resigned maybe a year, maybe 2 years ago,
Who owned the St. John's Maple Leafs? Is it the same ownership group, or is this a completely different ownership group? Do we know that?
I'm not 100%
sure. We don't know that. Okay.
But there is something apropos about the Winnipeg Jets farm team playing in Atlanta, Canada. Of course, we remember the Moncton Hawks for all those years were the farm team for the Jets before they moved to the farm team moved to Springfield and became the Falcons. Remember that?
I do.
There you go.
Yep.
We're joined. Let's go to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Corey Pronman, a writer for Hockey Prospectus, a contributor to ESPN Insider. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're going to talk Atlanta Thrashers prospects with you.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Always appreciate you giving of your time, Corey. Thanks for joining us this morning. Corey, we got a list of about six prospects. We're going to go through them, talk about what we're going to assume. By all accounts, this thing seems pretty close to done, if not officially done. So we're going to assume that these will be players that we might see in Winnipeg in the next coming years. Let's start with a centerman, Patrice Cormier. He's got a bit of a checkered past. Why don't we talk about what we can expect to see from him?
Well, Cormier was actually on the NHL team around mid-season, but suffered a concussion. I believe it was like around January or February. I don't remember off the top of my head. But, yeah, he's a guy who Atlanta projects well in the checking role. He's a very good in front of the net. He's already pretty filled out his physical game. He's going to project well into the NHL. He's going to be able to kill penalties pretty effectively. I don't really know if he's going to have much scoring upside. I did see him, like, when he was in the AHL, he was spotted on the power play on some occasions, but this is a guy who's going to just be a really good bottom six guy, maybe even above average in that role, and just going to be able to eat a lot of key defensive minutes for the Thrashers or whatever the team is.
Corey, Carl Klingberg, a big Swedish prospect drafted in 2009 in the second round. Can you tell us about him?
Sure thing. Well, he played a portion of the year over in Sweden and did pretty well when he came over to North America for the under-20 team. He didn't really get much minutes, though. When he was playing with Timrå, I think he only got like 10, 11 minutes a game. So he came over to the American Hockey League, didn't really succeed in terms of statistics, but just got a little more cut into North American game. He's an above-average skater, moves pretty well, very physical kind of player. Just the kind of guy who pressures on the forecheck very, very effectively, makes life hectic for defenders. Not going to see much offensive upside from him, although his shot is decent and he can score a little bit from distances. This is basically a guy who is going to be like an energy-type player. Probably, I don't think he's going to be in the NHL next year, might need a little more seasoning in the American Hockey League, but he could be a guy who can transition pretty well in North America, making it about a year or so. And, again, we want those really effective bottom six guys.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, depending on how Klingberg turns out, it sounds like what you're projecting is very possibly, you know, Cormier to be the third-line center and Klingberg to maybe join him on the third line on the left side, you know, within a year or two.
Yeah, that's reasonable. I'm not sure if Klingberg is visible to a third line, but
or fourth line.
That's a possibility. But I think a safe projection would be on the fourth line.
Okay.
Corey, what about Spencer Mahashek? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. He's a big right winger. What can you tell us about him?
Mahashek, actually, he's been a guy who's pretty much surprised me on the American Hockey League. Wasn't really a guy when I thought was going to go pro if he was going to have much offensive upside. He's a decent skater, and really, he isn't really a flashy guy, but just very smart around the net. He can score from a good distance out. Mildly effective on a power play kind of guy, but he's smart, works very hard, can kill penalties, does decent in offensive situations, and I think he's a guy who isn't going to project as a fourth or a bottom third line kind of player. He's a kind of guy who could maybe go to the top of the third line or, you know, on a bad team spot on second line scoring duties.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Corey Pronman. Corey is a writer for Hockey Prospectus, and he's a contributor to ESPN Insider. We're discussing Atlanta Thrashers prospects. Another guy we wanted to talk to you, Corey, about, that's Paul Pausma, a defenseman in the Thrasher system. What can Winnipeg hockey fans hope to see from Mr. Pausma?
Well, Paul Pausma, actually, in my opinion, is right now the best prospect right now in the Thrasher system. He's a very talented offensive defenseman. Basically, he's going to be able to skate with NHLers, no problem. He's a very fluid mover, moves the puck at above average level. He has a little bit of flash to his game. He's very offensively skilled, and he has a tremendous shot from the point. He's going to be able to be used on the power play point at the NHL level, and it's going to be a significant weapon, basically, against most teams. He's a pretty big guy as well. I think he's around 6'3", 190. Isn't that strong yet or effective in the physical game, but it's the kind of thing that might come in another year or two. Right now, all signs are positive for Pausma, aside from the fact that he's still very raw and just underdeveloped right now in terms of his decision-making and defensive game. It's better than it was probably a year or two ago when he came out of the WHL, but it's still not all the way there yet, and that's why I'm not really optimistic if he's going to be in the NHL, at least at the start of next season. But he's the kind of guy who, if that part of his game develops, he's the kind of person who can be a second pairing defenseman for Atlanta, or even like a kind of first pairing power play guy, so to speak.
Does he have a similar skill set to like a Keith Yandle type, who had trouble, you know, defensively when he came up through the system in Phoenix?
Yeah, that's possible. I've also heard comps even basically to Buffalo as well, just because he's a fast guy who has a big shot and just has some struggles in his own end.
Okay. Arter's called Corey is a former teammate of Zach Bogosian in the OHL and now in the same system in Atlanta or with the Thrashers, wherever they eventually come here, we think. Can you tell us about his game?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, Arter's called that?
Oh, Calder is a guy who actually probably could have been in the NHL last year, but Atlanta kept him down just so he can keep getting big minutes as this year in the AHL basically played top minutes, getting all the other teams' best players and whatnot. And he's a pretty refined defenseman on the back end. Not really flashy, but he's decent physically. He's going to move the puck, make the first pass well, pretty solid in his own end. And I think he's a very safe guy who you can project to start on the third pairing next year for Atlanta. I'm not sure how much upside he has if he's going to be able to go beyond that, but he's a pretty safe, projectable NHL player, and I would not be surprised at all if he was effective on the third pairing as soon as next season.
Yeah, you know, just for the fans in Winnipeg, I'm preparing my synopsis of the team's roster, and one of the things people are going to realize, and Corey's talking about two big prospects or two pretty productive prospects here in Pausma and Kolda. There's an issue here with the team moving to Winnipeg and with the roster itself, and then that there's six defensemen on the books or five without Bogosian having been signed, and a couple of those, for example, Mark Stewart signing by Rick Dudley to a 3-year deal last year when they already have a lot of money on the back end. There is a lot of money on those bottom three defensemen, which I'm going to talk about when I post the article on the Legal Curve, and the truth is if these defensemen, as Corey's mentioned, are able to maybe transition to the NHL, True North, whoever's in charge here, is going to have to find a place for them. And because A, they seem to be, talented and productive, hopefully, and B, is that they're cheap. Mm-hmm. And that's how you have to kind of work in. Right now, there's too much money on the back bottom three for Atlanta. So there's going to be some issues there in terms of making space for these guys. As
Akeem Alou, Corey, Corey, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, in terms of the kind of value you're getting on the back end, there's no reason for them to have money on a third pairing for where that team is in terms of
exactly
its rebuilding stage.
Yeah. Well, Corey, looking at their bottom two guys, and I talked about this a lot. I was writing the article this morning. Right now in their 5 and 6 defensemen, they have over $6 million locked up. It's absurd. And that's the kind of thing where you have to get value out of. And that's, to the point of you talking about these two guys, a guy like Kolda going right into the third pairing at a minimum salary, at an entry-level salary, that's the kind of thing you need. And so that's why, I would be worried a bit. We're getting the cart before the horse, but you'd be worried a bit if you are a fan that there is too much money there and there isn't room for effective young players like Corey's mentioned.
Corey, Akeem Alou, he's a guy that came with a bit of controversy in the OHL. What can you tell us about how he has kind of progressed since that incident a couple years ago? Maybe tell our listeners who don't know what incident I'm speaking about.
Well, I prefer not to really talk about players' off-ice issues or just any of their tangible issues, but just worth upon the record that there's been some hairy stuff in the past for Akeem Olu, and your listeners, I would just recommend to research that. But for Akeem Olu, ever since he went pro, he basically bounced up between the AHL and the ECHL for the last 2 years. In the times where I've seen him, he looks pretty good. Like, he's a pretty big body, around 6'3", 220, moves in above average level, and is a very effective forechecker, works very hard. But based on scouts that I've talked to, basically, he will be on fire one night, and you can't find him on the ice the next kind of night. And it's not looking good that Akeem Olu will have an NHL future. By this point, he just turned 22, and he is not where he needs to be developmentally. Like, it's very hard to see where he's going to fit into an NHL lineup down the road. He just doesn't really have that rounded-out hockey game.
There you go. Corey Pronman from Hockey Prospectus and a contributor to ESPN Insider. Thanks very much for joining us this morning to talk about these Thrashers prospects.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, Corey. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Corey. I didn't want to put Corey on the spot there, but, I mean, yeah, for our listeners, Akeem Olu, there was an incident, but yeah, I apologize for putting you on the spot, Corey.
He fell in a bit in the draft there, and then, you know, he hasn't progressed. As Corey was, I haven't seen him play. Corey was telling me last night he hasn't progressed, as he said, told our listeners, as well as people had hoped, and Dudley acquired him, and that he was part of that Bufflin deal in that package. Dudley, I believe, probably played a significant role in drafting him and then wanted to bring him over. Probably the thing is that people have to realize is that projects generally are based upon many people's personal opinions. So being that it's probably Dudley being the main reason behind bringing him into Atlanta, if he comes into a brass and to North, which is, say, run by Craig Heisinger, and he doesn't feel the same way, there might be less upside for him to move in the organization.
That's right. It sounds like, at best, a fringe prospect right now, and, you know, it depends on how patient you want to be with a fringe prospect if he's not your guy.
Quickly, one more thing there, Drew. I mean, one thing we have to take into account is there is a lack of offensive talent, offensive depth, or no more so talent, on the roster. And as you can tell, based on the system, there is... there's still a little bit of a lack of depth on at offense or offensive, you know, breakthrough talent. So there's something to address at number 7 this year in the draft. If the team does indeed come here, I think the number 7 in the draft will almost certainly be a forward.
They're on the back end, these guys seem loaded, so it's not surprising. And I mean, look, we'll talk about the Thrashers team as we go forward throughout the show and in the coming weeks and everything else. This team has got a lot of young talent. We've been saying it from the start. There will be a comprehensive post about the Thrashers roster available at www.illegalcurve.com. Richard's hair is actually turning gray and falling out because he's spending so much time working on it. So you can stay tuned for that. And of course, stay tuned to www.illegalcurve.com for all your information about the relocation of the NHL back to Winnipeg. We like to call it drama in Dixie. It used to be drama in the desert in Dixie. We got rid of the desert. We added Dixie. It's now relocation. Who knows what's going to happen? Stay with us. We got lots more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
Listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290, brought to you in part by Superlube Auto Centers. They didn't make the car you drive, they make the car you drive, drive forever.
Let me get that, Drew. That is Welcome to Paradise. And that's Green Day. And Green Day, I think that album came out that the year the Jets left in 96.
Nicely done, Richard Paul.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Good work, Timmy.
I didn't expect that to come at all.
Was it the album Basket Case? What was the album?
Dookie.
The album was called Dookie.
Basket Case was a big song. Welcome to Paradise is a huge song.
You've got a good radio voice. Yeah. You should be coming on air more often.
And that was released,
It's always, Tim, it's always you in the background. You can always hear Tim saying
off
things
mic,
in the
off mic saying
off
something.
Off mic comments, off-site comments.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Here's how the program's going to work for the next 2-plus hours. Anytime we do not have a guest in studio or a guest that we're interviewing, we're going to do open phones. We want to hear from you, 780-1290. If you're calling in from out of town, like many of the people over the last 36, 48 hours, put a 204 in front of that, 204 780-1290. Coming up on the program, 10 a.m., Tim Campbell from the Winnipeg Free Press. 10:30, goaltender for the Atlanta whatever Thrashers, Chris Mason is going to be joining us. And at 11 o'clock for the final hour, taking your calls, the voice of NHL hockey in Winnipeg, as far as I'm concerned, Kurt Kielbach is going to be live in studio.
Great save, Asenza!
Good impression, Ezzy.
That was pretty good, Ezzy.
Hey, I listened to probably 99% of those games, so he's a legend.
Little do the listeners know, it's actually just Ezzy doing an impression of Kurt Kielbach for an hour.
Yeah, it's actually, Kurt's not available. It's just going to be Ezzy posing as Kurt Kielbach.
Dookie came out in 94.
94,
yeah. I guess the 95, 96 seasons when they left, and I guess it was
okay, well, we'll let it slide this time anyways. A recap, in case you've missed the first 50 minutes of this show, what's happened, it's been reported by Robin Short in the St. John's Telegram that there's an announcement coming this coming Friday that the Manitoba Moose are going to be relocated to St. John's, Newfoundland, the Rock, as they like to call it there, where they will be the farm team for the NHL team in Winnipeg. That team will be owned by the Chipman and True North Group for one season in Newfoundland, and then allegedly it will be sold to a group led by former Premier of Newfoundland, Danny Williams. The deal to bring the Thrashers to Winnipeg, while not yet 100% confirmed, is a strong likelihood. They're still negotiating some of the fine print and whatnot. Various articles are floating out there on the World Wide Web. It's important to note that if an article appears on the Globe and Mail site, that it might be sourced from the Canadian press,
right,
doesn't necessarily mean that the Globe and Mail is going back from its article that was posted by Stephen Brent on Thursday afternoon.
Stephen Brent is not...
he has not backed off
his report, and I don't foresee him doing so.
That's right. So it is an interesting. It's sort of interesting with all the different. Lots of times, Canadian press, which are the quote unquote wire articles, are posted onto a website for a local newspaper. We've seen it happen on the Winnipeg Free Press before, where they will either confirm other reports and it's just an interesting moving dynamics that are in play.
Drew, Richie, remember what you were going to say. We should also note that in Gary Lawless's article that was in today's Winnipeg Free Press, there is a quote from Stephen Brunt that basically says that although David Thompson, who is part of the True North Group, it wasn't necessarily checked with David Thompson before that article was written. So Stephen Brunt has sources, and he decided to put his name behind it and put the Globe and Mail behind it, and it wasn't necessarily David Thompson who okayed the article being released. So
no, there's nothing to do with they're independent organizations.
Yeah, he's not an editor.
No, exactly right. It's just, you know, all the interesting intertwined dynamics that are in play in this situation, and we're going to stay on top of it and update you as events warrant, especially this morning and then throughout. Really, you know, we jumped on air on a moment's notice Thursday night, and we did the morning show yesterday morning.
I think that night should now be known, Drew, the best night of all of our lives.
No, the best night is going to be when this is an official announcement. Thursday
That was pretty good.
As Gary said in his column this morning, Thursday was a bit of an appetizer. The main course is still to come.
Yep. The 20-ounce steak is coming up,
that's
Drew.
Right, the porterhouse, as Gary liked to
what
say.
What am I going to do with all this paella?
This is a good Seinfeld reference there, Richie.
I have to cook food for 40 Jewish singles.
And that's the Kramer cooking for the Jewish singles. It's the Seinfeld show here.
It tastes like dirt.
Yeah, well, I dropped it in the mud on the way over here. Where were they? The Kreplach?
Yeah, they dropped it in the elevator on the way
that's
over.
Right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, he dropped them in the elevator. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Whatever is on your mind in regards to the relocation of the NHL back to Winnipeg, be it players, be it team name, be it whatever is on your mind, feel free to give us a shout.
We can deduce from the Robin's report earlier today that if the announcement for the AHL team is scheduled, as Robin reports, and he's a reputable journalist, to be Friday afternoon at 1 p.m., and right now there's rumors here that there might not be an announcement on Tuesday in Winnipeg. Let's use our logical reasoning here and assume that Wednesday or Thursday are likely to be the days where an announcement is made.
I'm confident they're not going to announce that the AHL is moving to St. John's before they announce that the NHL is moving to Winnipeg.
That's correct, because then we wouldn't have a team here.
I'm sharp as a tack in this brain. You know, that's what I get when I go to bed and get a nice 8 hours of sleep or something. You come back with witticism like that. You don't see that on a regular basis.
Drew, you have to think that if that announcement isn't happening on Tuesday, as was reported by Stephen Brunt, you have to think that there will be some type of announcement from the NHL or True North, either updating us on the report or confirming confirming that the deal has been done and officially announcing it, whether it's at Portage and Main, the MTS Center, the Forks.
I actually heard Gary Bettman is actually making the announcement while in a helicopter over the city because he's worried about
actually landing.
It's just going to be one of those flags.
Guys, the phone lines are lighting up, 780-1290.
Isn't that why Winnipeg bought that helicopter? That's not a cop helicopter. Yeah. Gary Bettman's helicopter.
Area code 204-780-1290. Let's start with Gary. He's calling on Grant Avenue. Gary, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hi.
How you doing, Gary? You want to talk about the team name. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, and that was pretty funny about Gary Bettman flying over the
city. Yeah.
Everybody calls him the weasel, you know. But for a team name, if we can't use the Jets for some reason.
There's no reason why we can't use the Jets.
Somebody owns the name, don't they?
NHL owns the name. Let's put it this. There's a lot of rumors that the name has been officially retired or whatever. Yep. Let's make it clear. The NHL owns the name, the Winnipeg Jets. It is available if True North and so chooses
exactly.
to use it.
So there's nothing precluding True North from making that decision.
But if they don't use the Jets, Gary, what do you like as a team name?
Well, you know, if you go back to 1955,
mm-hmm. Yes.
The original occupants of the old Winnipeg Arena were the Winnipeg Warriors.
Yep, the WHO.
And I love that name.
That name, too.
It's a good name.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there was also, Gary, just before we let you go, there was a rumor that True North might be trying to bring a WHL team to Winnipeg in the MTS Center. We can't confirm or deny that, it was a rumor, and you know, you'd have to think that Winnipeg Warriors would be a great
good
name for the WHL team if we were to get one back, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's actually a very good point, Ezzy.
It's Winnipeg history.
That's right. Gary, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much for tuning in.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
780-1290, area code 204-780-1290 if you're calling from out of town.
To that point, Drew, what just explained to our listeners, if they do not know, what teams are trying to do now is bring WHL teams like Calgary has
extra
with the Hitmen.
Revenue.
Not only extra revenue, but it's allowing people who can't afford to go to the NHL games to still go to hockey at the arena, and it's a nice balance between the two.
The more times, there's 365 days a year
What about the Rapture?
Yeah, well, I think the Rapture's scheduled for 12:30 or 1 o'clock.
I thought it was 6 p.m.
6 p.m. tonight is the Rapture?
Oh,
okay. I wasn't 100% sure.
But 6 p.m. somewhere, isn't it?
6 p.m. everywhere.
Yeah, 6 p.m.
everywhere.
At the same
really?
Time. But yikes. So it's 6 p.m. here and, like, overseas?
Yeah.
That's confusing.
Is that Rapture savings time?
Nicely done, Richie. Area code 204-780-1290, 780-1290 if you want to call in. Tim Campbell of the Winnipeg Free Press coming up next segment. Still to come, Chris Mason of the Atlanta Thrashers at 10:30.
Drew, I want to go ahead.
For the final hour of today's show, joining us live in studio, Kurt Kielback will be taking your calls and your comments, and he'll be joining us for just the conversation that we're having and we've been having since late Thursday evening.
Drew, a friend of mine, Aaron, just BBM'd me, actually, Moose Jaw Warriors. So that already exists, actually.
Okay, so there's 18,000 Rough Riders and Bears.
I forgot about that. There already is a Warriors in the WHL. So I guess,
I'm surprised you have a friend who isn't in the room.
I don't have a friend in the room.
That's true.
Tim, if you're my friend, then maybe I have a friend in the room. But Drew and Richard, we spent so much time together in the last 3 days.
Yeah.
We're not friends anymore.
No, friendship. Were we friends before?
Friendship over.
That's it. Okay. That's apparently, if you spend that much time together, our friendship just falls by the wayside.
Yep.
Let's go to break. When we come back, Tim Campbell of the Winnipeg Free Press. Lots more to come on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show this morning. Stay with us. You're not going to be proud that you know the name of this song, are you?
Wasn't this the Jets' intro song for the last 2 or 3 years?
I don't know. Wasn't it always Jump?
Was it Sloan? Sorry,
Sloan.
No. When the Jets left, I'm almost positive they had a different song for their last. I think it might have been Buckcherry. I feel like the Jets got rid of Jump for the last 2 or 3 seasons. Can we get some talk about that in the chat? I feel I'm almost 100% sure that the Jets got rid of Jump for the last couple seasons, which is heartbreaking. I'm almost 100% sure. So let's get maybe we can ask Tim.
Yeah, maybe Tim knows. Tim was there for every one of those games. Let's go to Tim Campbell. He's on from the Winnipeg Free Press. Tim, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
I am here.
There we go. Do you remember? Did the Jets get rid of Jump for the last couple seasons?
You know, you guys are just chatting about that, and I was quickly
trying to pull it out of my storage in my brain, and I think they used it to the bitter end, although I often remember the, you know, the Start Me Up tune as well. I don't know.
I think towards the end, too, they might have got a little Chumbawamba in there, but that also might have been the Manitoba Moose of the IHL. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you might have got those two mixed up.
Tim Campbell of the Winnipeg Free Press, good morning. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you guys. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing well, Tim. I mean, it's been a whirlwind 36 hours. Let's start with your thoughts. What do you, are you of the opinion that this is a foregone conclusion?
Well, I'm not quite sure. What's the thing just short of foregone conclusion? I'm not sure what that is, but my personal opinion is this, you know, this train is on the tracks, and it's going to take something pretty, pretty colossal to stop it. But that doesn't mean, you know, we're at the end of the track yet. As frustrating as that may seem to a lot of people, the one thing, you know, I guess the timing of things that have been written and said and speculated on this week is a little troublesome for some people. And I don't know if the Odd Reporter has jumped the gun here, but you know, the one thing that has not changed and the one thing to me that is not going to change is the economics of this whole mess that has caused True North to be in negotiations with the folks in Atlanta. And that's that a hockey team, an NHL hockey team in Atlanta and Phoenix for that matter right now, and probably a few other cities too, loses a lot of money every season. And currently the National Hockey League can't find an owner for either the Phoenix Coyotes or the Atlanta Thrashers that wants to keep those teams in their present cities and continue to pay for massive losses going forward. I mean, that has not changed, and it's not going to change anytime in the future, short term anyway, and that's why we are where we are today.
Tim, it's Ezra here. We had Robin Short of the St. John's Telegram on earlier to talk about an article that he wrote in today's newspaper that the Manitoba Moose will move to St. John's, Newfoundland on condition that Winnipeg lands an NHL team. You cover the Manitoba Moose, obviously. What can you tell us about this story? Can you confirm it? And what are your thoughts on Robin Short's article?
Well, I certainly can't confirm that. I can tell you I've heard some in recent times, some real longing to re-up the AHL in St. John's, because as much of a stretch as it was for the American Hockey League to be that far out east, geographically, the people there really did have an affinity for that franchise. A lot of folks thought maybe it was just because it was the Toronto Maple Leafs that were the parent club, and that attachment with anything to do with the Leafs is a pretty hot commodity across our great country. So I would not be surprised if that's the destination, but I will have to confess to you, I'm pretty in the dark on what may happen to the Moose. By the way, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Robin Short is one of the tallest Canadians that lives today. He's like a 6'8" sports editor of the St. John's newspaper and a wonderful guy.
Yet his last name is Short.
Of course, that being the irony there.
Yeah. It's like calling Drew's last name being Smart.
Oh, that's harsh.
Yep. That was too easy. Tim, Tim, you had the pleasure of covering the Jets when they were here. It's been 15 years. Long 15 years for some fans of the NHL. You've done a terrific job covering the Moose and hockey during during their tenure here, assuming that they are done. How excited are you to, if you do have the opportunity, to cover NHL hockey and cover the team once again?
Well, I don't really think I'm much different than a lot of fans. I have some fond memories of NHL times, when I was a beat reporter. Lots of exciting things were going on in those days around the NHL, from Mario Lemieux to Wayne Gretzky, and there are a lot of exciting things happening. But I also, carry some of the, painful memories, I guess, the sadness of hockey fans in Winnipeg. I don't know that, a couple of those event days at the Winnipeg Arena, the quote-unquote funeral day, the last game and even the last games, those are going to stick with me for a long time. Just the profound sadness of it all. And, you know, the unsavory, I guess, is the best word, business end, you know, that really went bad for Winnipeg at that time. So, you know, I suppose a little part of me can celebrate if in fact the team is coming back, because I think it's a great move for the city. It's going to do a great amount for enthusiasm and confidence, I think, locally. And those are important things. We started to rediscover those, a little bit of those things, with maybe the World Junior and some big events in Winnipeg going forward. But having your own team is a lot different than just having, you know, some really interesting and exciting one-offs. So in that respect, you know, I think it's going to be a great thing.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of reminiscing on the program today. We're joined by Tim Campbell of the Winnipeg Free Press. Still to come next hour, we're going to have Kurt Kiel back in studio for the final hour to talk sort of the reminiscing. Tim, you know, what's your greatest memory? I mean, you know, on a happy note, let's hope for. You know, you covered the team, you know, day in, day out. What jumps out at you as being one of those just shining memories that you have of the old Winnipeg Jets?
Well, you know, of the larger league, maybe I'll cheat and give you two of the larger, you know, league picture. You know, and I was fortunate to see a lot of fun things. I think for me, just, you know, as a real hardcore hockey fan at heart, you know, just being able to watch, you know, both Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, but maybe, you know, getting to get up close and learn a little bit more about them in some interviews and some scrums over time. You know, I always think of that as quite a thrill. You know, really, when it comes down to it, my job, you know, has been and is kind of a representative of the fans. You know, that's why we call it media, just kind of the middle person. And it's okay, I think, to be interested and excited about what you're doing. And I think having met those two stars and, you know, having been able to talk to them, find out about them, was great. And then the other thing for me was I will always consider myself to be one of the most blessed Jets fans, whether it was deserved or not. But, you know, getting to follow the team around in the 92-93 season, I don't think I saw every game that season, but a lot of road games as well as the home games. And just getting to watch the magic that was Team Solani, to me, you know, 65 or 70 games of that plus the playoffs, just being able to watch the growing magic of that through a season and the buzz it created around the NHL, that was something for Winnipeg, and I will always consider myself blessed having been able to witness that.
It's funny you say that, Tim. I was thinking today, you know, about like a top five memories of the Jets, and probably three of them are from that very season.
Well, it's funny, you know how the world is small and things come around. But it was interesting, late in the regular season, you guys will probably remember that Timu was awarded a penalty shot in a game and scored on it. And, you know, then, of course, that started the statisticians into their buzz. You know, the last time Timu Solani scored on a penalty shot was
Tampa Bay, right?
Tick, tick, tick. Exactly.
Yep.
Tampa Bay against Wendell Young. And, you know, I happened to be in the building to watch that particular amazing goal. And, you know, and I also know Wendell Young, who is now currently the general manager of the Chicago Wolves. And
wow.
Has played against the Moose in the past. You know, was not only a good NHL goaltender, but an excellent, you know, AHL and IHL goaltender, and he's continued in the hockey business. So, you know, that was one of the fun things for me, and it just goes to show you, you know, you meet people, and in hockey circles, they always, you know, seem to come back into your lives every yeah. once in a while, and that, you know, that was a particularly neat thing. I just remember after seeing that penalty shot, it did spark those memories of that game in the old Fairgrounds Arena in Tampa, long before they ever built that downtown arena there.
Tim, I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here and switch to a question about True North Sports and Entertainment and some of the reports that came out in the Winnipeg Free Press, the newspaper that you wrote for. There's a couple of stories about how True North was going to look at you know, some revenue streams. What can you tell us about the latest about that?
If you're talking about the story that first appeared, you know, on our website earlier this week about the provincial government, you know, somehow getting involved into this story, you know, I think that's been an ongoing conversation between those two parties, you know, for going on a couple of years, as far as I know. There have been all kinds of ideas discussed, and that doesn't mean everyone's going to be implemented, but you know, I think the provincial government and True North have been looking for some time at, numerous strategies, not just to help True North with their, you know, NHL aspirations, but also to try and enhance or help the downtown. I think some of those things have involved the properties across the street where currently True North has a convention hall or an exhibition hall. You know, there are some properties for sale, I believe, and being assembled. There's been talk of a potential hotel through maybe the downtown development group. There's been all kinds of ideas floated. I'm not sure that all of them will be implemented, but obviously there's a strategy been discussed. We've heard through some of our political reporters and good sources that, you know, the VLT license may be expanded, that's a possibility here to you know, help True North. It's kind of a win-win situation, although those opposed to gambling may not see it that way, but, you know, a way to help their revenue stream. And in the end, I don't think there's a stomach, you know, widespread stomach for direct financial support, you know, for a hockey team. I don't think the taxpayers want to cover, you know, losses. I suppose the opposite of that is you wonder if they wouldn't want to share in the profits. But, you know, I think we've been down that road once before, and there was a great distaste for having losses covered by the, you know, public funds. So I don't think any smart government or politician's going to, you know, try to enter into a game like that. So you have to think they're looking for some creative ways where the government can enhance the experience, the entertainment experience downtown, and you know, look for methods like that. I think that's the road they ought to be on, and it sounds to me like that's the one they're carefully exploring.
Tim, to that point, I mean, you know, you write for the Free Press, but you're a Winnipegger, and you've been in the city for many, many, many years. And, you know, what do you think of the, you know, I guess the economic ramifications of a team coming back here and what it would do for not only the city, but maybe specifically that downtown area?
The North Portage area, absolutely.
Well, if you mean just the strictly the economic implications?
Yeah, and just like the city, and yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, we'll say that.
Just driving down Portage Avenue and seeing sort of some of the buildings that right now might be shuttered
empty.
Or empty or needing a rejuvenation. I mean, how much of this will, you know, help with that?
Well, you know, if we're talking about strictly economics, you know, clearly there's going to be some benefit. You know, it won't be quite double, but, you know, there'll be a sharp increase, almost double, if, in fact, the games are going to be sold out, home games for a team. You know, about double what the Moose do right now. So, obviously, there's some spillovers to everything from parking to restaurants to merchandising, but you know, I think a word of caution is in order on that, you know, on that remark, that when the MTS Center opened, there were some benefits, but, you know, a lot of folks thought maybe, you know, it was going to be the single thing that would just completely rejuvenate downtown. Well, I would suggest to you that maybe hasn't happened. There have been some good things that have.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's still a ways to go, and I don't want to be the one to say the NHL is going to be the solution or the panacea to, you know, what problems remain downtown. There are a lot of issues at play, and I'm no urban planner, and I'm certainly no economist. There's going to be a benefit. I can you quantify it? I don't know. And I have to say, you know, I'm reluctant to go down that road too far, because on the opposite end of the coin, we have seen in Winnipeg that when an NHL team departed, you know, the sky did not fall in, the roads did not fall apart. You know, on the other end of things, you know, we didn't really put an end to hallway medicine or see a vast, you know, remarkable sharp improvement in medical care access, or new schools weren't built because, you know, there was more money for other things. I mean, all these crazy economic theories that tend to come out, either good or bad, with arrivals and departures of sports teams, to me, are wildly overblown, and that's one of the things that makes me cringe the most in my, and I'm sure your, recent reading about the story surrounding the NHL team in Phoenix, that all these wild claims
they're just nonsense.
You know, all this crazy amount of money is going to just simply, you know, disappear out of the economy in Arizona, to me, is just one of the biggest fabrications I've ever read. It's just preposterous, and there's so much proof to the contrary that you've got to be careful when you start getting into these kinds of numbers.
The stuff coming out of Phoenix was completely nonsensical. But you know what, Tim? I said it on Thursday night. I've been saying it for the last few days. Winnipeg was a great city when the Jets were here, It was a great city when the Jets left, and it will continue to be a great city no matter what happens in the going future.
My answer was about 5 minutes, but I just wish I'd said that.
Hockey is a cherry on the ice cream, and hopefully it's going to be coming. We believe it's going to be coming, and hopefully you'll be there to bring it all to us. Tim Campbell of the Winnipeg Free Press, thanks very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an exciting time.
Thanks, guys, and keep up the good work.
Appreciate that, Tim. Thanks very much. Let's head to break. When we come back after the commercial messages, more of your phone calls, more of your tweets, more of your emails. Chris Mason of the Atlanta/Winnipeg Thrashers coming up at 10:30. And for the final hour, Kurt Kiel back live in studio taking your calls. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Ten:20 in the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Joining us in studio to plug what is going on and on www.illegalcurve.com. Michael Remus.
Remus, 1 second. The Slaney penalty shot was in Tampa Bay. It was on Wendell Young. I remember who the goalie was. And I was in the Pan Am Pool parking lot listening to Kurt Gilbeck.
There you go. It's all apropos. Remus, what's happening in the chat room?
Well, we've got some great discussion going on in the chat. Maybe people talking about what name they want.
Anyway, I'm going to give my take on the name. First of all, I think we were all in agreement, and the majority of polls will show that we all want it to be Jets. And what I'm hoping is that they take the Jets name, and then they grab the history of the Jets back from Phoenix, similar to the Browns did from the Ravens. But anywho...
No, but Remus, on that point, you know, I've been thinking more and more and more about it and, you know, being accepting of the Falcons or whatever it may be. And the more I think about it is exactly right. You want to continue the legacy of the team. You want it to be, you want that continuity. And quickly, and I think you agree with me, I don't buy into the cursed organization. Run your organization properly and it won't be cursed.
Yeah, the cursed stuff is a little bit of nonsense.
As much nonsense as the Rapture. I have no idea what that thing is, but it's way too popular. Anyway,
better get there before into the room before 6.
Yeah, I'm probably missing a few calls on the other side, but...
Head over there.
Head over to the chat at IllegalCurve.com and send us your tweets, twitter.com/IllegalCurve. Thank you very much.
Hold on, Reem. I mean, in honor of Kurt Kielbach coming on, you got to say your line that I love that you never say anymore.
What? Let me tell you guys, better come on down to IllegalCurve.com for some great, healthy chat action.
There you go. I love it.
And the chat is crazy this morning. Remus is heading back in the other room, and he has done a great job. I went in there during the last break, and it was
There's a lot of chatter. Exactly. Yeah. Check out the chat room at www.illegalcurve.com. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 780-1290. If you're calling from out of town, 204-780-1290. Send us your tweets at Illegal Curve. Send us your emails if you prefer at drew@illegalcurve.com. Looks like we have another one of our friendly callers, a regular on this program, Zach. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Zach, are you there?
Hey now.
Hey now. Zach. Hey now. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How you doing?
Very well. What's on your mind this morning?
Want to talk about the division.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
So there's been some reports early last week before all this news broke that there's a possibility that a team in Winnipeg would remain in the Southeast Division next season. Just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on if that is actually a likely scenario. Because I couldn't imagine that the other teams in that division would be too happy about that.
That's just it. I mean, Dirk Hoge actually wrote an article. He's called The Forechecker online. He has a Nashville Predators blog that's very popular, and he does an article every year about the amount of travel a team would do based on a schedule. This year, he projected that if Winnipeg were in that division, they'd have more miles on those planes, like I think 10,000 more miles on the next closest team. It doesn't...
We know how expensive fuel is right now.
It seems like the most illogical thing you'd ever hear, Zach, and not only from the Winnipeg perspective... Because you know you didn't do what you have to do to get into the league. But as you just pointed out, do you think Tampa Bay wants to, you know, play Washington, play Florida, and then fly all the way to Winnipeg and then fly all the way back? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Washington doesn't want to come here 3 times a year. Tampa Bay doesn't want to come here 3 times a year. Florida doesn't want to come here 3 times a year. And Carolina doesn't want to come here 3 times a year. It's a far distance.
It works both ways. I mean, and Winnipeg doesn't want to go to Carolina and Washington.
Well, it's harder on Winnipeg because you're going down there 3 times 4, yeah. 12 times, right?
I don't really... It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me. Everyone says, oh, it's too difficult to switch it around now.
What?
Why? It's not like they've booked hotel rooms and booked flights or anything.
I have a question. Like, have you people heard of the internet? Like, oh, you know, couldn't grab... First of all, these guys can all afford to fly private planes to a hotel and have a meeting. Worst comes to worst, they could use their online conferencing to discuss the issue and figure it out.
It doesn't seem that difficult. Everybody, I mean, there's an article, a great article, written by Dave Manouk at www.illegalcurve.com. Check it out. It's the article that everybody says, oh, yeah, that's logical. Move Winnipeg to the northwest, Dallas goes to the central, and Colorado goes to the Pacific.
Now, generally, the report came from Dreger, right?
Yeah.
So the truth is also that Dreger hasn't yet gone through with saying that the deal is going to happen, so he very well may be using the same source here, and the source won't give him the information on a realignment until there is some kind of announcement, because that would kind of be putting the cart before the horse and alluding to a possible move. So maybe that needs to be taken into consideration.
That could be it. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Zach, we appreciate the call. Their lines are lighting up, so let's go 204-780-1290. Give us a call, 780-1290, if you're calling inside the perimeter. Tapper on line two. Tapper, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Awesome. I just want to say great job over the last 48 hours. You guys have been the leader in this. Before I make my comments, first off, I do want to say in terms of you guys being the leader, I do remember that you guys were really the first one to break the Bill Daly story a few months ago, and I don't think you've gotten the credit that you need to get. So good job on that.
Appreciate that. For anybody that missed that interview, it is available on it's actually available on YouTube.
Yep.
And on IllegalCurve.com. If you go to YouTube, search for the Illegal Curve channel. The interview is there in its entirety. That's from the last November.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know my show is on hiatus right now, but the last 48 hours I feel like I've just been doing show after show after show, just listening to you guys and prepping and stuff like that. But here are my comments for you. Number one, in terms of Stephen Brunt, I know there's certain media around the country that are going after him. And I think what people need to realize is that it's not just Stephen Brunt. When Stephen Brunt puts out something and says he has his sources, the Globe and Mail has to confirm those sources.
That's right.
In order for it to actually get into the paper. And I think from what Damian Cox said yesterday, I was listening to The Fan a bit, he said, listen, you know what? I wish I had the story first, but the bottom line is I think Brunt basically trumped everyone.
That's right, yep.
And you can see it on Drager's face when he was on TSN. He was visibly upset.
Richard, aren't you, sorry to cut you off, aren't you of the mindset that this was, maybe True North and the NHL haven't confirmed it with TSN, but this is a classic scoop, is it not?
100%, and that's the bottom line. I think other reporters were upset that they did not get the scoop first. The quote-unquote NHL insider, right, may have been promised the scoop first, and from what people have told me, there was a lot of rumblings at TSN that night, and a lot of people were upset with Brunt's story. And if you look across the country, everyone is referencing Stephen Brunt from the Globe and Mail, Stephen Brunt from the Globe and Mail. And again, the Globe and Mail would not put a story out like this if it was not confirmed by the editors, by the paper, from those sources.
Tapper, thanks for the call. We're right up against it. We've got to get one more caller in before Chris Mason. Curtis in St. Vitale, you want to talk about the name of the team?
Yes. Hi, guys. First-time caller. Great show. You guys rock. I enjoy listening to it every Saturday morning. Yeah. I talk about the name, the Falcons.
Yep.
I know the Chipman Group and Mark Chipman really want to keep it Manitoba because they're into that. And also, it would be great business-wise for them to do that because the whole province basically could be aligned with the hockey team.
Agreed.
And I think I honestly think it's going to be like the Manitoba Falcons to honor the history that first team that won that Olympic gold medal way back when.
It certainly is a viable possibility. I myself like the Manitoba Falcons very much. Curtis, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, bye. Curtis. We're going to break quickly. Falcons is a name that I also like, but at the same time, what about Manitoba Jets, keeping the Jets name and keeping the legacy?
Yeah. I think it's going to be Manitoba regardless.
That's fine. Keep the history.
Yep. Yeah. That's I think we expect that within the next week or so, we'll find out for sure.
Yep.
Let's go to break. When we come back after these commercial messages, Chris Mason, goaltender for the Thrashers organization. Let's leave it at that instead of Atlanta, Winnipeg, who knows. Chris Mason, he was on last week. He's on again this week. Let's hear what he has to say. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.